Hi, this is Lexi
and Sid
of Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlemmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlemmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Hey, swing by and visit them anytime, Tuesday through Saturday. This week, great live music from kicking off Jerry Week. Wednesday, August 1st, Alligator Wine, playing all your favorite Grateful Dead tunes from 6 to 9 over there. Thursday, August 2nd, Phil and Carson from the Scandaleros. Friday, August 3rd, The Big Idea. And Saturday, August 4th, Nick Detmeyer and the Sawdusters. And I will be back out at Naked Vine on August 14th with my singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, including Anna Shanoff, Matt Wynn, and Bobby Stevens. So keep an eye out for that show coming up soon. But all these events and more can be found at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And again, come on out for a cold drink. They got all kinds of great whiskeys, wines, and cold beers, and live music happening. Everything at nakedvine.net. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
We are the Broken Kingdom, and you are listening to
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, actually in Collinsville, Illinois today. Took a little trip across the river to hang out with the guys in the Broken Kingdom. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys want to properly introduce yourselves for everybody listening?
I'm vocals and rhythm guitar, Jimmy Peck.
My name is Cody Walker, I play drums.
I'm Seth Green, I play bass.
Eric Footen, lead guitar.
Yeah, man, this is exciting, because like, I love getting to discover new music all the time in our town, and that's kind of the fun thing about doing the show, is it like kind of, it just keeps the wheels turning all the time, and I guess I met you guys, I guess Jimmy and Seth, at least I met one of Cody's I've known for quite a while now, but I met you guys down at Pops a little while back.
Yeah, it was back over the winter time. I remember I was like super sick that night, and like I'm glad that Seth had the fortitude to make some conversation. He's normally the quiet one in the band, and he said that. He explained to me who you were, and I think I had a couple demos or something. I wasn't even gonna go that night because I was so sick, and I was like, "Nah, I gotta go and do this." So it all worked out, man.
I believe it was March, and I think it was at a Ink Spot block party or Ink Spot housewarming party. They were doing down there, which was a great night, great party. Sky burnt white, and
those guys were amazing.
Yeah,
they were.
Out amongst the masses and the many colored death and a lot of good rock and roll down there. But yeah, you guys introduced yourselves and gave me a copy of the demo to take home, and I cranked it up on my ride, and I was like, man, this sounds good. I just kind of told you guys a little bit off mic, but sometimes it's fun. It's like you never know what you're gonna get. You know, you pop it in and it's like, oh, this could be junk or it could be something really great. And that's so it's always a nice surprise when it's something really great and you're like, wow, this is cool. So
he's being nice.
Actually, you got the crappy version of
that. Was a first mix.
Yeah,
but you could tell, I mean, even that, like, you can still hear like the roots of it all, and you can tell that, what you know,
I can, as a music fan, you can still appreciate what the ideas there and stuff and things like
sound
even
quality.
Sound quality, maybe correct, but the quality, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, they have to be good songs.
But the but you do have the I guess more the new mix is up on online and everything, so people can hear those versions and stuff now that we have out there the demo. But like I said, I don't, you know, it's our first time really getting to hang and talk. We talked a little bit that night, but again, it was like a loud rock show, so it wasn't really couldn't talk a whole lot. So, but tell me a little bit more about the Broken Kingdom. I guess this is a fairly new project, right? Like, I guess.
Yeah, Cody and I started jamming. I guess it's been about a year and a half.
Well, the first time.
Well, the first time was like.
That's how this started. That's what, four? That was before I.O. started.
Yeah, that was in like.
That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's 5 years, 6 years ago, yeah. And like, we were playing like super heavy stuff. And we only jammed a couple times. And like, I just had a lot going on in my life at that time. And like, I honestly had a pretty bad drinking problem at that time. And like, I just didn't have the time to commit to it that I felt that it deserved, and so like we parted ways for a while. He's been doing the I.O. thing for years in our outlines, and over the course of that 5-6 years whatever, at the tail end of it, I decided to I got clean and sober again, and I started writing all these songs just on an acoustic guitar. And after I think I had like 7 or 8 of them, and I hit him up and I was like, hey man, I know you're really busy with Inner Outlines, but what would you think about doing a side project? And so, you know, a little bit of time lapsed in between then, and you know, he said he was interested, and after a little while we finally got together and started working on all this stuff. And and Seth came into the picture a little while down the road. Eric and I have actually been best friends since we were like 16 years old back on the East Coast in Maryland and West Virginia. And I took a trip back home, it was last summer after I had hip replacement surgery, and while I was off work from it, I took a trip back home, and Eric was kind of going through a weird point in his life and kind of needed some change of scenery. And I was like, well, hey man, like, I got this band that I'm working on and getting going, and I played him a couple songs for it, and he was like, you know what man, like, I'm gonna come out there. He said, it'll take me a minute to get everything together to come out there, but I'm going to. And so he finally did. I think it was November or October.
End of November.
Yeah. End of November, he got out here, and it's all just been preparing and getting everything the way that we wanted it to sound, and we finally got to that point where we were comfortable with the way everything was sounding, and it's like, okay, now we just need to start getting out and playing in front of people.
We just had your first show, right? Was that like
a couple weeks back or a month ago?
About a month ago.
Yeah.
We've got 2 under our belt now.
And we just had a second show last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I really, I was bummed I couldn't make it out to the first one. I thought that would have been cool to watch the debut and everything, watch it all, where it all started and things, but I wasn't able to make it out that night. But you do have a bunch of big shows coming up, and the calendar's filling up, so that's, I mean, it's nice to see that you guys definitely made a splash. I mean, people are taking notice of what you're doing, so, already, so that's exciting. So you started writing these originals just on the guitar, like, when you're, and then, I guess you present them to the band, and everybody just kind of builds them up from there?
Yeah, there for a while it was just like I would write all this stuff on my own on an acoustic, and then I'd bring it to practice and I'd show Cody what I had, and we'd just start, you know, he'd write his parts, and now things work a little bit different now that Eric's here and a part of it. Since he's been out here, I've wrote maybe like 3 or 4 songs since he's been out here. This most recent one was as the first one that he was actually a part of the writing process for. He's kind of like the arrangement guy. Like, I'm the raw, unrefined part of it, and he's the one that comes in behind and is like, okay, this will probably sound a little bit better if we, you know, change this up a little bit or shorten this part, and kind of puts the polish on things. So.
Yeah.
Me and Seth just do what we're told.
It does, but it's too
not well either.
Yeah. Do what you just did, but the way you did it before.
I like what you're doing there, but do the exact opposite.
just do it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Seth always ends up being
the butt of the jokes.
Yeah, the butt of the jokes. I guess I'm mainly to blame for that when I've always been hard on our bass players.
I don't think
reason.
The light in your amp players. Should be on.
Oh, man.
We'll stop in the middle of a song at rehearsal, and I'll be like, hold on, something's wrong. Like, I can hear your bass. The blue light's on, man. That's the problem. That's not supposed to be on.
Man, being bass player's rough.
there's a great video of from the Hard Times. It's like an unappreciated bass player meeting, like set up like kind of like a AA meeting kind of thing. They're all in a circle.
Oh yeah, bass player's anonymous.
Yeah. I said that. Yeah.
And,
I know what we'll do, guys. We'll make an all bass band.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody wants that.
So many good jokes in there, but like that's there's what he says one, like he's like talking about taking a girl out on a date, and he's like, yeah, and then I pulled out my bass and I played for about 15 minutes and I looked up and she was gone and I was like, I don't know.
What do you call a girl on a bass player's arm? A tattoo.
But
Seth showed me this bass video. It was Mark Hoppus from Blink hosting like this like bass player like speaking event or whatever, and he's like showing a picture like, we like us as bass players like we shouldn't take it anymore. Here's what we need to do, and then he shows a picture of him like jumping off Travis Barker's drum riser, like, check this guy out. He's back there jamming with the drummer, having fun, and then like the whole thing gets over. He's like, I need to call Travis. Like, we don't talk to you as much.
Yeah, that was another good one. It is funny though, like how the bass players become the joke in the band sometimes.
Most unappreciated instrument.
<All right.
laughs> At least I haven't lit any of your facial hair on fire.
Yeah, that's why I usually keep a close shave. I'm afraid that's going to happen.
Eric and I, we grew up playing in bands together, and one of our bass players, I inadvertently lit his goatee on fire.
Oops.
I swear, nobody believes me, but, like, it really was an accident. Yeah.
Those kind of things happen, man.
I mean, rock and roll, man.
All right. Because I'll bring out all that pyro. Well, like I said, you do have some big shows coming up, and you guys are heading back over to Foo Bar. I guess, well, first, August 8th, Jimmy's going to do a little solo acoustic show over there at Foo Bar,
yep.
Opening up on a show over there. So
yep.
You can catch him there. But August 13th, you guys will be back at Foo Bar, full band.
16th.
Or 16th, sorry.
It's on a Thursday.
Yeah, 16th. Opening for Boy Hits Car, which...
Yep.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this show,
yeah.
Man.
We're all excited for it.
Did you guys listen to them a lot?
I won't lie. Like, I wasn't, like, super into them, but, like, I knew who they were. I used to ride BMX, and I would order all my bike parts from a company called Dan's Competition, and they used to send out... like sampler CDs, if you would buy so much you know, worth of merchandise. And I got a sampler CD that had a couple of their songs on it. So I do remember them from back in the day. When Jason Thompson, the promoter for the show, when we did our first show afterwards, I went up and talked to him, and he was like, "Hey man, look, I got a show coming up that I think you guys would really fit on." And he's like, "Have you ever heard of Boy Hits Car?" And I'm like, "Why does that sound so familiar?" And he's like, "Well, they're doing a 15-year anniversary tour," and then it clicked. I'm like, "Oh yeah, they're old school." And he's like, "Yeah," and I kind of felt like a little bit of an idiot, but you know, like, because I think, like, I don't know, in my head, I'm thinking like he was probably expecting like a bigger reaction right. from me, and I'm like, But yeah, man, I'm really excited about it. Really excited to get out and play with some bands that we fit the bill with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun night, man, for sure. So grab some tickets, FUBAR's website or whatever you got to do. But yeah, come on out to that one. That's, I don't know a ton of them, like, but it is cool to see a lot of those bands coming back around. There's a, you know, there's a lot of opportunities like that, and it's like, I don't know, as a fan, like, I mean, I have a great time going to shows as a fan, but like, imagine if something like where you're a fan of the band and then you get to share the stage with them that night, you know, yeah. like, it's a pretty surreal moment, kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's
you
get very to, surreal.
Yeah. So that's gonna be cool. I said Jimmy is doing that acoustic show, and we did do a little live jam
yep.
here. I give everybody a little taste of what you sound like acoustic, because I get, does this something you guys do much of, or?
Eric and I recently just, you know, started really working on it, because we've also got this Sunday, was it the 29th?
Yeah.
We're playing in Cape Girardeau, Missouri at Fock Fest. It's a festival down there. It's day 5 of the festival, and we had gotten the invitation to come and do it, and I was like, I was back home at the time for a visit, and I wasn't able to get a hold of everybody right then and there, and the guy kind of needed an answer, I guess. And so I was like, well, hey man, I said, you know, if you're not opposed to it, like, our lead guitarist and I will come down and do an acoustic show, because I knew that we could do it. I mean, like, yeah. Set up wrote all these songs on
it. It's something that we've been talking about for a while. Mm-hmm. We want to do more of it.
Yeah, future. Absolutely.
I love it. Like, I love that kind of, I mean, I obviously grew up on the Unplugged and yeah. stuff, and the, you know, Alice in Chains Unplugged is still one of my all-time favorite records. Like, yeah, that,
absolutely.
That set was just awesome. But all that, you know, there was a bunch of great, you know, all those bands did a lot of those Unplugged kind of sets, and like, I just, you know, I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. I love the rawness of it, and the fact that you can like focus on the vocals more and all that. You yeah. can hear the lyrics in the songs, and you know, not that you can't otherwise, but just like, it allows you to focus on it. You don't get distracted by the you know, the big guitar solos or whatever it is and different stuff. So
it allows the emotion to
sure come through. Yeah, for sure.
And I've always like really admired when you can hear like a heavy rock band just strip it down to an acoustic mm-hmm. set and,
yeah,
and
then it's all about the songs
yeah. at that point. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And it just adds a whole another perspective to everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Well, like I said, you did do a live jam. Let's talk about Until the End. This one's not on, doesn't appear on the demo. I guess this is a more newer song.
Yeah, this song actually, out of all our songs, besides Set Me on Fire was the first one out of all these songs that got written. And Until the End was probably the second or third. I'm pretty sure it was the second. And like,
it's enough for 5 of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
up, came to the car. That's how I earn these scars. And the cords of the grave wrapped around me, begging me to join them in the toil of pushing up daisies. But someone, somewhere out there had been praying for me.
Originally, that song was, I think...
It was like an 8-minute song.
It was very long.
It was very, very long.
It was...
And it was still long when I got out here.
Like, the first time Jimmy played it, he's like, yeah, just kind of jam along, get a feel for it. And, like, every... After, you know, like,
2.5-3 minutes, like, okay, you know, the song's over, and then like it would come to like an end of a section, okay, still going. Nope, song's not over, and this kept happening over and over and over. I remember at one point like mouthing the words to him, when is this freaking song done, dude? Like, what are you doing?
This song got nicknamed
The Beast. It's so long.
Yeah. And it's got a lot of parts to it, too. It's you know, we cut it down quite a bit. And I mean, it's still a long
it's
song.
It's so, yeah.
But
is that why it's called Until the End? You know, just like...
just gotta wait for it.
Yeah, wait till the end.
No, that was kind of an unintentional pun, I guess. Like... But no, that song, I actually almost gave up on that song a couple different times. I think I rewrote the lyrics for it like 3 times. Like, originally that song was going to be about deja vu. And then, like, I had like the whole thing written. And I remember, like, while I was writing it, I would like, in between writing stuff, like, I'd get super excited because, like, it was finally falling into place, and then I'd leave my apartment and go do something for a while, and I'd come back and I'd sit down and start playing. I'm like, nah, that doesn't sound right. Like, it just sounds cheesy or whatever. And so, like, and finally, I don't know how it happened. I ended up completely changing the subject. The song is actually about a car accident that Eric and I was in when we were 19 years old, and was actually the reason that I ended up moving out here to the Midwest, and like it just completely changed the whole course of my life. And
stupid deer.
No, actually it was a mountainside.
It was a one lane bridge and a bank.
Yeah. It was an all around bad deal, dude. But you know, a lot of people perceived that as like a bad thing, but to be completely honest with you, man, like it's probably the best thing that could have happened for me at that time in my life. It, like I said, it completely changed the course of my life. If I'd have stayed back there, dude, like no doubt I would either be dead or in jail. And I know most people, like a lot of people, exaggerate and say those things, but I mean, like that's the long and short of it, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, in the grand scheme of things, like we would not be here, Eric wouldn't be out here right now, you know, this band wouldn't exist right now if that had never happened. So
yeah, it's pretty heavy though. I mean, we can like isolate a single moment in history that changed everything, and like,
yeah,
so. But yeah, you're here today to, you know, share your stories and hopefully make an impact on others, you know, especially with your sobriety now and everything else. So that's awesome, man. Like I said, we do have the demo, and that's also available up for on SoundCloud. And we wanted to share a little version, a little more electric version, you know, the full band effect. And Cher Set Me on Fire, since you mentioned that, like, there's another one you guys wanted to share. Anything around Set Me on Fire?
That was almost a band name.
Yeah.
Because that was the first song you ever came to me with. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually had, like, the first time we ever jammed, like, 4 or 5 years ago. Like, I, like, in hindsight, you had, one of those songs was, like, remnants of that song a little bit. It was a lot heavier.
Yeah. But I think it was probably that the chorus riff, because I had that chorus riff.
That's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah. But yeah, that was the first song that.
Purple as a blood in my veins. I'm tired and I
you know, like when the band, I guess, started, it was just me and Jimmy jamming at my church for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first song ever. And I mean, that one holds a special place in my heart just because it was the first one. But
I mean, as the four of us, that's the first song we all learned.
Yeah.
That's the first song you learned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Jimmy's like, yeah, we can name it the band. And I was trying to hint to him, like, you shouldn't name a song after your band. Like, that's just kind of toolish, I guess.
Well, unless you're Bad Company, so.
Yeah, yeah. Unless you're Bad Company.
Yeah.
And it was one of you two at practice just one time just goes, we shouldn't have a band and a song named the same name.
Right.
We just shouldn't do it.
But, yeah, that song, man, it definitely holds a real heavy place in my heart. That song, actually, on the lighter side of things, the name for that song, I remember it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago when I was living over in Calhoun County, Illinois, and I was at this Baptist church, and I was flipping through this hymnal, and it was like the last hymn in the book. And I don't know if it was called, I think it was called Set My Soul on Fire. And I was like, set me on fire. I'm like, dude, that would be like a super badass, like, metal song, man. I'm going to tuck that in my back pocket and use it for something someday. So, you know, fast forward, you know, however many years into my life. And, dude, it was, that song really just came out of, I was newly clean and sober at that time, and like really, dude, like everything that was my life at that point in time was falling apart. And it was like, you know, the relationship that I had been in for the past 3 years was falling apart, and we had actually, you know, we were engaged, and it was hell for me, man. And I was like, dude, I'm like finally doing things right in my life, and like all this bad stuff keeps happening, you know. And so it was like, that's where a lot of the fuel for that song came from. And that was, I remember at that point in time, that was writing that song was the only thing that I had to really hold on to my sanity at that point in time. And I was like, you know, once I finally got it written, I would sit there, dude, I played that song over and over and over, and I'm like, dude, my neighbors are probably completely sick of me right now. But and it evolved a lot over time. I have a really good buddy named Brett Lamar, who plays for a band called Lead Sled over in the Jerseyville area, and he actually made some suggestions, mainly the ending of that song. He's like, you know what, dude, like it would be like really awesome, like at the end of it, if like when you listen to the song, you hear the end of the song. To me, it's the highlight of the song, really, because it's like that last punch in the gut. And then, like, when I let him hear the demo, he's like, that's my shit. That's my shit. So
I can picture Brent doing that.
But yeah, man, so definitely holds a special place in my heart, as well as, you know, the rest of the guys. So.
Yeah. You were saying, Eric, that you recorded this stuff for everybody?
Yeah, we recorded the drums at Jimmy's church, and the rest, I have a little 10x8, you know, bedroom that we recorded the rest of everything, and the vocals, the guitar, and the bass.
Nice.
But yeah, we're really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, man. That stuff, I mean, I don't know, like, blows my mind when I hear stories like that, because, like I said, it sounds great, and to hear that you recorded it in your bedroom, like, is you know, like I said, just crazy to me, because, like, just that we have the technology now to do all this, like, at home, and do it at a reasonable cost, and stuff, you know, and get a quality product, so.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, Yeah, I keep stuttering. But I mean, like, as far as drums goes for those first couple songs, like, we could have easily just like done like MIDI drums, but like the acoustics in Jimmy's church are beautiful. Mm,
the natural reverb.
Yeah, sure. It's just because we couldn't decide between my church or his church, because like my church was built like back in like the 1850s, I believe. So it's a very old.
A lot of hard services,
but I mean something. Yeah, we ultimately went with Jimmy's church, but
that actually happened out of coincidence too, because there was something going on at your church, and so we decided.
My church was getting painted.
Yeah.
It was getting remodeled, so we couldn't do it. Yeah, so we had to do your church. That's what it was.
Yeah. Which was perfect, because like after we thought about it, like with all the air in his church, like
it's
the
bit,
acoustics,
yeah.
You know, it was like, you know,
they're actually a little bit better in your church,
yeah,
because there's not so much air.
Yeah, the thing about recording is, you know, especially when it comes to drums, like if you have too much reverb in the recording, you can't take that out. You
sounds,
can always add into it, but you can't take
that
out.
Sound farty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it worked out perfect, man, and it was a great drum sound, even just like the raw drum sound before any of the, you know, editing or anything got done to it.
Yeah, you can do a bedroom recording, but drums is one of those instruments that if you do it in a bedroom, it'll sound like it was done in a bedroom. It'll sound boxy and small.
Seth's
so
brother
it's good
has
to get the drums in a big space.
Seth's little brother is required to come to every one of my recording sessions for this band.
I brought my little brother Wesley to that day we recorded Cody's drums, and he'd never seen a drummer play live before, so Cody's like Neil Peart in his eyes. All about Cody now.
Yeah.
But hey, shout out to Wesley.
Yeah,
he's
like,
thank you, Wesley.
Number one fan.
There he was.
He's like, dude,
we love
you. He's like, dude, give me a bump.
Dude,
pound me.
He hasn't washed a hand since. He's going to make it out to our last show, but he had something going on, so Cody's looking forward to that.
He just graduated, didn't he?
Yeah.
What's he been to school for?
Astrophysics.
Stay in school, Wesley.
Yes.
Don't be like us.
Don't be a fool. Stay in school.
Well, you guys, like I said, you have a couple of dates coming up, August 8th and August 16th at Foo Bar, and then, but you can get involved with you guys on Facebook for more upcoming dates and information.
Yep.
You said you do also have a YouTube channel. Do we have any?
Yep.
Some videos up there?
Yeah.
We have the
whole first show is documented on YouTube.
Yeah.
So we wanted to upload that whole show one song at a time, just to kind of like see where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, milestone moment. So that whole show is available on there. We have other, we have some bedroom recordings of us recording, and we have some footage of our last show that we did last week up there right now, but most of this stuff is on Facebook too right now, but you have to make sure you subscribe on YouTube for a lot of other content and footage. We'll probably upload footage from most of our shows on there.
Nice.
So if you subscribe on there, you can see what we're doing.
And we have a lot of plans for future videos, like acoustic videos, solo videos for Eric's stuff. And,
yeah.
Just, you know, different ideas to get stuff out there for people.
Definitely.
See a little bit more about who we are. So.
Yeah. You guys looking to put together a full length, or is that something in the works?
Yes.
Or official EP or anything?
We were actually talking about not doing, like, we have 12 songs so far in the set, like two of them kind of need solidified before we can do them live, but we were even talking about, you know, holding back on two of them and just doing 10 on the full length, and then and I've even got 5 other songs sitting on the back burner, and then
And all of those are the bits that got cut from the song called The Beast. We just made five more songs. Right.
There was enough song. Material for another half album, maybe even an EP. But yeah, we're this coming Saturday we're gonna be tracking some more drums and just, you know, we all work day jobs, and you know, obviously Cody's pretty busy being in our outlines as well, and so like.
You guys all work day jobs. I work shift work. That's what screws us out of rehearsal a lot of times.
So. Yeah. But we're just trying to do things as we go. We're doing it on our own right now. And just, you know, we're really hoping, I'm really hoping that maybe by you know, the late end of this year, early into next year, we will have something available. It just really just depends on how smoothly things go with schedules and everything. So, but yeah, we are definitely shooting to have a full length available very soon. So, as soon as possible.
Anyway. Yeah, man. Well, let's share one more on there. We also played Never Again live acoustic today.
The Nickelback song?
Yep.
Dad rock.
Anything around Never Again?
Never Again, which is, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's probably the heaviest song in our set, but it also translates very good to acoustic, which really is kind of odd and surprising. But as far as
stand my ground. You want to
the content of that song, I really kind of wrote it as like an introspective kind of like, I'm my own worst enemy, I always have been. And like, to me, it's kind of an ode to leaving the person that I had been for so long, and the parts of me that are no longer useful to me, the old, you know, putting the old man to death, so to speak. It's really personally to me what that song's about. I try to write all of these songs from a standpoint to where it can be interpreted by anybody and implied to, you know, their perspective, you know, in any way that they interpret it. But, you know, a lot of them really have specific meanings to me, whereas somebody else might take something completely different away from it. They might take it as like, a goodbye song to an ex or whatever, or somebody that was poisonous to their life.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff when it's just vague enough to where you can apply it to your own stories and your own life and stuff, whatever it is you're fighting with and different stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Very cool. That, somebody said, Cody said Nickelback. I was wondering, like, I was listening, like, and you guys, I mean, not that you guys sound like Nickelback, but just, like, I like to go and listen to your sound and trying to figure out, like, influences and stuff, or, like, kind of where, and, like, I feel like there's some of the stuff kind of...
It's all over the map.
Yeah.
It's Frankenstein, yeah.
I forget the track now, the name. I'm terrible at names, like, because I usually just, like, listen to them and not really, like, paying attention to the title. Maybe, but I remember hearing one, and I kind of got, like, a... Chevelle feeling in there. I don't know if that was if that's in the vein of some of you guys, or
I'm a huge Chevelle fan.
I like Chevelle,
but I like, there's definitely a little bit more of that. I said Alice in Chains earlier, and I feel like there's more of that kind of like, you know, 90s grunge in there, a little bit to your sound. And
the thing that Jimmy and I are so different in our guitar styles, but it meshes really well together.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely the 90s, you know, grungy alternative kind of player, and he's the heavier, you know, more modern rock style, but it really fits well together.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree. What you guys are doing, it works, like, and that's right up my alley with what a lot of my taste, because, again, I grew up on a lot of that stuff, so it's, and it's kind of a... You know, I don't know, like, I feel like it's something, it's like new again, though. Like, you know, it's like, there's a lot of bands kind of bringing the sound back again, and which is kind of fun because there's so many different versions of rock and all this stuff, but, like, it's like, a lot of people are kind of played out with a lot of the stuff that were, you know, more modern, and, like, that 90s rock and 2000s and stuff, that a lot of that feeling coming back, and, like, people are really digging it again, so... Mm-hmm.
And like grunge, man, to me, grunge music was the first music for me that was mine, that like somebody else didn't really turn me on to, or I didn't listen to it because my parents listened to it. Like, you know, Alice in Chains has always been, like, ever since I was a little kid, has been, you know, a band that I loved. I can remember as a little kid, my mom dated a dude that he had two CDs in his car. He had Nirvana, Nevermind, and Stone Temple Pilots Core. And so that was like, to me, I think that's really where like the grunge influence started with me, and then it just kind of grew from there. But like anything 90s alternative grunge, like, I've always loved. And then like Eric was saying with our styles, like he's as a player, he's, you know, in that that era, whereas I'm like, going back to what I was saying earlier with, you know, when Cody and I first started playing, like, I always played like super heavy stuff, and like, I love playing super heavy stuff, and I always have, always will. It's fun, but like I remember when we first started jamming on these songs, because I wrote these songs to be the style that they are for a reason. And Cody was like, "This is a lot different than what we were doing before," and I was like, "Well, man, like
it's very different."
Yeah, but, yeah. The stuff that we were doing before was like August Burns Red, Texas in July, like that type of rock music.
R.I.P. to Texas in July, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, he's the one that we started listening to these guys.
What is the, I mean, there's not to say you guys couldn't still do something. I mean, I
well, like, let's get heavy.
I like when a band like kind of catches me off guard sometimes, like. You know, I feel like...
Oh, we got some stuff.
Yeah, we do.
We definitely got some stuff in the show.
But I just feel like, you know, some bands kind of get boxed in where, like, oh, we have to... They all have to sort of kind of fall in this range, you know? It's like...
Yeah, we all do that.
Right. AC/DC.
But I love when a band can, like, play their hardest song and then go right into their softest song. Yeah. And, like, you know, locally, one of my favorites to do it was Fivefold. Like... They could get you moshing and then make you cry in the next song. And it's like, and like, I love what they were able to do with that. Like, and that's the kind of stuff, like, I like when a band has that sort of range and so.
It's like I told Cody too, like, okay, so the style of like Set Me on Fire, for instance, like has that straightforward grunge 90s alternative sound. And so like when all this started and these songs started coming out, I've never really been a singer before. Like I screamed for a band back on the East Coast before I moved out here, but other than that, like I was never really a singer, let alone playing and singing at the same time. But so these songs kind of, as we progressed, like I was able to get a little bit more technical and heavier with what I was playing and being able to sing at the same time. So I was learning how to do all this. And so like, you know, there's been numerous times where Cody was like, we should write some heavier stuff. And so like some of the newer stuff actually does have, you know, some of those metal influences, because I still like, if you get in my car 90% of the time, I'm listening to metal. So,
yep.
Like, and I've always loved heavy music, and like I said, I always loved playing. And it's slowly starting to become part of our sound, but it's exciting to me because it's starting to get, everything's starting to get infused together, and to me, it's kind of different.
Like, except those little jams that me and Seth do between songs.
Yeah.
Those are a lot of fun.
I like to get jazzy sometimes. Yeah.
I saw them like three times recently, and they just make me laugh every time. But my friend's Old Souls Revival, and they're kind of this, I guess indie rock would be the most, you know, generic label to put them under, but they do everything. I mean, there's all kinds of different sounds coming through what they do, but they played the birthday show had a little bit ago, and they know just about every song. They'll just like start messing with each other just to make each other laugh, and like one of them like went into playing Smooth from Rob Thomas, and Neil's like, I don't know this song, but all right, here we go, we try it. And like, so they played enough of it where he started like making up the words, to, you know, trying to come up with something, all the words. All
right, I'll entertain this.
anyways, it's fun to, I like seeing that kind of stuff though, like when you guys are, you know, having fun with each other on stage too. So
yeah,
just having a good time with it.
Right on.
Well, again, come out to these shows, click subscribe on YouTube. Follow these guys on Facebook.
Yep.
More tunes coming soon. Until then, you can like are those available for download, the demo?
They are. If you have a SoundCloud account,
yeah,
you can download them for free.
Nice. Well, there you go.
That new Beartooth song is also on SoundCloud too. Check that out.
Plug.
And it shouldn't be too here before too long. We're gonna join the rest of the modern world, I guess, and do the Spotify and iTunes things.
Hey man, I'm even on Spotify now, so.
Yeah,
I was listening to it on the way here. I was listening to the second Pure October episode about the melanin.
That was a pretty silly one.
That shit cracks me up every time, dude.
Those boys were pretty silly. We had a good time recording that one. Shout out to Pure October.
Yes. Yeah, those are my boys.
Spencer Peck, actually, their bass player, did our very first photo shoot. And,
nice.
He's a great dude, man. It was.
I love Pure October.
Not only was he professional, man, but it was also, you know, fun to work with him. You know, he kept the mood light and everything, which is our style. So.
Yep, he's got skills.
Yeah. He's got his own little thing running now. Is it Peckerfilm?
Peckerfilm.
Yeah, plug. Thanks, dude.
And Tom's the man, and Alex has too much melanin. He said it first, not me. He's expired milk.
Right.
They'll get it.
All right. Well, I thank you guys for taking some time out to hang.
Yeah, thanks you. We really appreciate you having us.
And hopefully we'll do another one when that record's ready to go or something, man. We'll debut some new tunes or whatever I can do to help. But, I look forward to doing another one of these.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.